that I think we tend to either forget or overlook, right? And if you were to ask me who's my favorite Bible character, I'd say, hey, it's King David. Right away, right off the bat, King David, my favorite character of the Bible, beside the Lord Jesus. All right, amen? Why? Because I think King David had a special heart toward God. In fact, I'm sure he had a special heart toward God, right? God calls him a man after his own heart, right? Amen? And God calls him that he had a perfect heart toward him. Now think about that for a minute. We all know that King David made some great mistakes, right? I mean, he's done some big sins, right? I mean, great sins, right? He killed someone. That's pretty big, right? He committed adultery. Yeah, that's not really good either, right? He numbered the people when God says, you won't. So he disobeyed God's law. That's pretty bad too, right? But God tells him that he had a perfect heart toward him. And that has always really... I just marvel at this. We have such a good God. Amen? Such a great God. He's willing to overlook some of our mistakes, overlook some of our sins that we commit, like David did, because he had a heart for him. So, I've often tell God, and I still tell him, God, just give me a little bit of that heart that David had. And I've been searching, I've been looking at the Psalms and David's life to find keys, right? I think the Bible gives us keys, amen? It gives us clues. How can I get this heart that King David had? I mean, there must be something, right? Because he's a normal man just like you and I are, right? And I think we can have this heart that David had for God. So I believe that David first was a humble man. I think he was a humble man. I believe, secondly, that David had a broken spirit. And we see that in Psalm 51. Amen. How he reacted to when Nathan the prophet came and confronted him of his sin, right? He said, oh, have mercy upon me, O God, right? He had a broken spirit. I think he was a man of prayer. And I mean, to get close to God, we need to be close to him, amen? We need to be in prayer, in the closet, on our knees, right? Our face on the ground toward a holy God, amen? So I believe that he was a man of prayer. But there's something else. And I believe this is something that we either forget, we overlook, or that we just don't want to face. And I believe he was a man of praise. He was a man of praise. Now turn to Psalm 145, please. Psalm 145. We have here David's psalm of praise. And you know what? When we're in the Independent Baptist Church, sometimes saying those words, praise, worship, we say, whoa now. Right? Let's back off a little bit. We ain't charismatic here, I know. But hey, worship and praise belongs to Bible believers. It belongs to Bible believer. It doesn't belong to the charismatic crowd. It belongs to us, Bible believer. And praise and worship is throughout the Bible. And throughout the psalm, you see David praising his God. And so I believe one of the keys to get close to him is praising him. Worshiping him, right? It says in John 4 that the Father seeketh such as would worship him, right? And we ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? And so the Father, God, is actually looking out. He's actively searching for people that will worship Him. Amen? And indeed, He is worthy of all our worship. Amen? So we're going to pray and we're going to look at this psalm here, Psalm 145. Oh, Father, You're so good to us. And Lord, Your mercies are everlasting and they're new every day, Father, for us. Your greatness is unsearchable, Father. And Lord, this morning we ask You that You would meet with us and that, Father, You would speak from heaven and that, Father, the preaching of Your word will be done in power and not in word only and in the Holy Ghost. Lord, please help us to get that heart that David had for You, Lord. I know it would change my life completely. And it would change the church life for sure, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So it starts off, I will extol thee. Now what does extol mean? It means to emphasize His heroic deeds. Emphasize His heroic deeds. God is my hero. Amen? God is my hero. When I was young, right, I love playing basketball. I was a basketball player. Yeah, a guy from Canada, 5'6", playing basketball. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was my favorite sport. And I played all the way high school, all the way to college as well. 4 years in college, doing nothing else but playing basketball, right? Flunking all my classes, right? That's not a good example, okay? Not a pattern to follow, amen? But I just love basketball. And I had heroes, right? Players that I would look up to, right? How silly is that, right? But hey, we have a greater hero. Amen. We have the greatest hero in history. Amen. We got the Creator. We got the Sustainer. We got the Provider as our hero. God Almighty is my hero. And David says, hey, I will extol thee. I'm going to talk about Your heroic deeds, Lord. I'm going to talk about what You've done in my life. I'm going to expose them to You. I'm going to talk about it. So I think one of the great passages that shows how to extol God is actually found in Exodus chapter 15. So Exodus 15, the children of Israel have now passed through the Red Sea. And then they sang a song, and it's called Moses' Song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, and notice, unto the Lord. I don't think we should sing songs to none other than the Lord, amen? So they sang this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. You got to think about that for a minute, all right? So all these people, these Israelites, they were right there by the Red Sea with an army of madmen with chariots and horses and bows and arrows and spears that wanted to kill him, right? And they came to this Red Sea and they couldn't pass through, right? They couldn't go any further. I mean, that was dead end right there. They thought they were going to die. They thought that they had followed a guy that was nuts, Moses, right? But God, I mean, my hero, you know what he did? He opened up the Red Sea. Not only did he open it up, but they walked on dry ground. Amen. It wasn't wet. It wasn't muddy. It was dry. Amen. So it was easy to walk on. Amen. The way of the Lord is always nice. Amen. He makes it nice for us. Amen. And so these people passed on dry ground. But hey, there were the cavalry, the warriors, the Pharaoh's army, hey, they were still following them, right? They were following them, purchasing them, right? Look in verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts as he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Amen. So, I mean, my hero. When the Israelites passed the Red Sea and they were on the other side of the Red Sea and the army was still trying to catch them, I mean, my God just closed up the Red Sea and they all drowned right there. My hero did the job there. Amen. Verse 6, Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. So this passage here, notice there's no asking. No asking. And I believe that we tend to ask too much. Sometimes we just need to stop and just extol Him. Express to Him what He's done in our life. Amen. Because He's done so many things in our life. So many great things in our life. I mean, He's my hero. So He's done some heroic deeds. Amen. He saved me. Why shouldn't I tell Him that? Well, thank God that You saved me when I was 18 years old. When I was deep in sin that I couldn't get out of. God, You saved me. We need to say that sometime to our Lord. We need to praise Him, extol Him. And this whole chapter here, it's all about extolling what God had done for the Israelites. So David starts off saying, I will extol Thee. And in David's life, he has seen the hand of God so many times. So many times. I mean, God had miraculously delivered him. God had sustained him. God had protected him when he was in danger. So David says, hey, I'm going to talk about your heroic deed. I'm going to extol you. And then he says, Psalm 145, verse 1 again, I will extol thee, and this is so good, my God. My God, let me tell you something. We have a personal God, right? My God. My God is not distant from me. My God is not far from me. My God is not unknown to me. He is my God. Amen? And you know what? He's your God too. And He desires this personal relationship with you. Amen? We're not here for a show. I was raised as a Catholic, right? And all it was a big show. It's a big show. And you don't get to know God in the Catholic Church. Amen. But I mean, when He saved me. Amen. When He reached out and He grabbed my hand and He saved me, I mean, I started a relationship with Him. Amen. The Christian life is a relationship life with God. And you can have this personal relationship with Him. Not only you can have it, but you should have it. Amen. You should do your best to to develop that relationship with Him. Spend time in prayer with Him. Talk to Him, right? I mean, when you're driving, just sing a song to Him. Amen. Unto the Lord. When you can't sleep at night, I mean, stand up and praise Him. Amen. Talk to your God. Talk to Him. David says, He's my God. My God. Think about that, right? I mean, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one that sustained all things, my rock, my salvation, my shield, my Father, my Savior, my deliverer. He's mine. David says in another psalm that He is his portion. He is my portion. Turn to Psalm 142, just the page before that. Verse 5. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. If you read the rest of Psalm 142, the first verses, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I shewed before Him my trouble. So He was in trouble, amen. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I mean, he was in trouble, right? No one was with him. No one was willing to help him. No one cared for him. People were trying to snare him. But he says, Thou art my refuge and my portion. Amen. Even though no one was with him, even though he had nothing that was going well for him, he says, Lord, you're my portion. You belong to me. You're my heritage. If everything else falls beside me, you know what? You're still with me. Amen. You're my portion. I mean, I'm having such a hard time to understand this. How close he was to God. How close he was. I mean, I hope in the next years, if the rapture doesn't come, that I get to grow my relationship with him. That I would make him my portion as well. In the good times, he's my portion. In the bad time, he's my portion as well. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. Amen. And then he says, O King, I will extol Thee, my God. O King. You know what? He's saying, God, You're in charge of all things. I mean, You're the one that rules over the earth. You're the one that rule even over heaven. Amen. You are the King, right? And if you're going to judge, if you're going to apply judgment, if necessary, on my life, you know what? It's going to be a righteous judgment because we have a righteous, just King over us. He's never going to treat us unjustly. Never. We have a righteous, just God. So he says, hey, you're in charge of my life. You're looking out for me. You fight for me. Psalm 24. Because a good king is going to fight for his people. A good king is going to make sure that he protects his people. Amen. Psalm 24. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. You know what? You may be in a battle now. I don't know, it might be a financial battle. It might be a relationship battle. I'm sure it's a spiritual battle. Amen. But you know what? Guess who's fighting for you? Guess who's fighting? And guess who is going to come on top of that battle? We have not only a good God, a righteous God, but we have a King who fights for us. And guess what? He never loses. Never. I mean, He has never failed me yet. And you know what? He's not going to fail me in the future. Amen. We have a King who fights our battle. And you know what? The Bible says He is strong and mighty. Verse 9, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Well, who is that King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hey, David says, you know what? I'm going to extol thee. I'm going to talk about your heroic deeds. I'm going to make it known to you, right? I'm going to record, right? I'm going to say it back to you because you are worthy of that. But you know what? I'm going to tell it to everybody else as well so that they may know that my God has done such great things in my life. Why? Because you are my God. You're personal to me. You belong to me. You are mine. You are my portion. You're my King. You rule it over everything. You have been so good to me. You fought my battles. And you've won all of them. Amen. We have a King who has never lose. Amen. And He is never going to lose. Amen. So He says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever." You know what? We should never cease to bless Him. And He said, "I'm going to bless your name." I mean, God has many different names, right? I mean, in the Bible, He has so many different names. And guess what? It's good sometime to take some time. You know what? Just bless His name. Just bless His name. I mean, for no reason beside the fact that He is worthy and that He deserves our praise and He deserves our worship. We should bless Him. "I will praise thy name forever and ever." He's the God of beginning. He's the God of justice. He's the God of forgiveness. He's the God of heights. He's the God who is near. He's the God of my strength. He's the God of my praise. He's the God of my salvation. He's the holy God. He's the living God. He is the God of gods. He's the faithful God. He's the great God. Amen. He's the God of heavens. He's the God of knowledge. He's the God of truth. He is the most high God. He is God with us. Emmanuel. Amen. And He's the God of eternity. Amen. He's the wonderful. Amen. He's the counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. I mean, He has so many names. You know what? His name is Jesus also. Amen. The one who saved me. The one who redeemed me. The one who gave me new life and a more abundant life. Amen. This is the real life. I mean, real life is not out there. Real life is being with Jesus. That's the real life. Amen. You know what? I was thinking of that. I mean, Adam and Eve, right? In the garden. They had a perfect relationship with God.
perfect. He was walking with them in the garden, right? And in one instant, he was done. The relationship was cut off. But guess what? Guess what? When Jesus came,
amen,
and he died on that cross, and blood was coming down from his nails, and he says, "It is finished." And the veil of the temple rent in half. I mean, he gave us access to God the Father again. He restored the relationship back to God. So when we accept him as our personal Savior and we make him our Savior, amen, we turn back from everyone else and we turn to him and look at him for salvation. I mean, the relationship is restored, amen, and he lives inside of us, amen. And we have such a great relationship with God. And so many times, we neglect that. We take it for granted. We're trying to religion our relationship with him. Our relationship with God is pure. I mean, he desires for us to come to him. And if there is something that we need to understand, it's that we need a relationship with God. And we need to develop that relationship. Then it says in verse 3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Verse 4, this is key. "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." You know what? It is our responsibility to declare his mighty acts to the other generation. It is our responsibility to praise his work to the other generation as well. Why? Turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And let's start verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should walk, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise, and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." We will not hide it from them. You know what? We need to declare his works. We need to show forth his praise. Amen. The next generation need to hear us praise our God. These young people here, they need to see us praise how a great God we serve. Amen? They need to see it. They need to see us worship our Redeemer. They need to see in us that it's real. That it's real, that we have a real relationship with him. It's not based on a religion, but on our relationship with our King. Amen? They need to see that. They need to see his strength. We need to tell the next generation what God did in our life. How he delivered you from the miry clay. How he delivered you from an uncomfortable situation. How he delivered you from trouble. How he saved you when you needed help. They need to see it in you. And we need to talk about His wonderful works. I mean, I'm still amazed this morning that 13 years ago, someone came in my hometown in St. George with a group of teens, and they passed out flyers, about 3,000 of them in our city. And guess what? Me and my wife were the only two showing up at the church. The activity was a bust. It was a bust, right? But that's typical in Quebec. But I mean, I'm still amazed that God saved me that day. I'm still amazed that God led a group from a college in Florida to come up to my home church and do this sports activity and then preach the gospel. Amen. They preached the gospel after. It wasn't just about the activity, but they preached it after. And guess what? If it was only for the activity, we would have not gotten saved. Right? The preaching of God's word that brought us salvation. Amen. So let me tell you, teenagers and young people, you are important. Amen. You are important. You know what? We have a responsibility to show to you how great of a God we serve. Amen. And sometimes we just tend to forget and we get wrapped up in our daily lives, in religion, and we don't share it with you. You know what will be the result if we do that? It says in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Set their hope in God. And you know what? Us parents, oftentimes, we're really good to set our children hope in a career. Mm-hmm. Come on now. And in a sport activity, right? I mean, we just want them to be, we want them to be the best player that they can be, or we want them to be this famous doctor or something, and we set them up so that they can have hope in that. But we need to set them up that they can have hope in God. Amen? That's why we need to declare His mighty works, that they can set their hope in God. Because He's the God of all hope. Amen. Not forget the works of God. So, I mean, I think this is one of the key that David had to be so close to God. He wasn't afraid to praise his God. He wasn't afraid to extol Him. He wasn't afraid to declare it how great of a God he served. Because we served a great God. Amen. And He is my hero. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I mean, how great.